This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Businesses in Over the Rhine and downtown are facing challenges brought on by two major crises in our country right now, the global COVID pandemic and the civil unrest related to racial injustice. Though OTR has been a local economic success story with its historic transformation from troubled to vibrant, it's also found itself at the center in the city's marches and protests against racism and police violence. We're going to talk with two business owners from OTR and downtown coming up. But first, we're going to be joined by a couple of local journalists who have covered the impact of the pandemic and the unrest in these communities. We're joined by Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Alex Coolidge. Alex, thank you for being with us.
Hi, Michael.
And momentarily, we'll reconnect with Andy Brownfield from the Cincinnati Business Courier, who has also reported on this. We had a little technical difficulty just before we went on, but we're reconnecting with him now. Alex, let's start with you. I thought it was interesting. You talked with an academic and someone who studies this sort of thing, the Urban Planning and Development Program at St. Louis University, Sarah Coffin, who says this is going to be the biggest challenge to the resilience of the revitalization of cities. We have not seen a test like this before. What should Over the Rhine and downtown, which are in the midst of this nascent renaissance, be bracing for?
Well, the problem that they're facing right now is that the playbook that many of these revitalizing urban areas have embraced in the last, 10, 15, 20 years has been to sort of do a makeover of downtowns and turn them into sort of urban adult playgrounds with restaurants, with shopping, with, entertainment options. And what is really difficult about the current coronavirus downturn is that that has attacked the very businesses that you manifest those whistles and bells with, basically. So, restaurant. This is smacked right into restaurants. This has devastated hotels. This has shut down concerts. A pandemic. Even if your COVID cases seem to be leveling off, is public enemy number one to your to basically your strategy. And the reason these amenities for downtown are appealing is because they help draw urban dwelling offices, employers, and then also downtown residents who all want to be located near all the fun and the injection of new vitality. But if you have a bunch of businesses that are closed up as a result of this, that's obviously a huge problem.
And we're talking with Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Alex Coolidge. We're also joined on the line now by Cincinnati Business Courier reporter Andy Brownfield. Andy, thank you for being with us also.
Thanks for having me.
So you certainly cover the business community in Cincinnati, and this is such a challenging time for a variety of industries. But we're talking today about the impact to retail and other business establishments and Over the Rhine and downtown, which have been part of this nationwide success story of revitalization here, now facing crises that are flanking them on both sides, the pandemic and the civil unrest that are pretty much concentrated here in Over the Rhine and downtown. Tell us a little bit about what you learned while working on some of your reporting as it relates to what the civil unrest and some of the early looting or rioting that took place in the early days of this in OTR.
Well, as Alex was mentioning, it's really been a 1-2 punch for a lot of these businesses in Over the Rhine, with first coronavirus causing them to be forced to be shut by the state, and then just as they were beginning to be able to reopen, the unrest hit. And it sounds like a lot of it was more opportunistic. It wasn't done from a sense of anger or retribution or retaliation for anything these businesses had done or been complicit in, but rather just a lot of apparel or bar businesses had some merchandise or alcohol looted. And unlike the unrest we saw nearly two decades ago, this was much shorter lived, just one night of violence in the protests that were otherwise peaceful.
Andy, you talked to representatives from Urban Sites and 3CDC who have developed and worked on projects in this part of the city. They seem relatively optimistic, referring to this as a short-term issue. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think unlike the early 2000s, when Over the Rhine was certainly a hotbed for tech entrepreneurship, nightclubs and restaurants, there's a much stronger residential component this time around to the revitalization. This is not just the place where Cincinnatians go to eat out and have fun, but it's a very vibrant neighborhood that a lot of people call home. So these developers who have poured millions of dollars into the neighborhood, and then residents who have made their own investments living and working there, they're really committed to making sure that this isn't a repeat of what happened in 2001.
And we're talking with Andy Brownfield from the Cincinnati Business Courier, and we're also joined by Alex Coolidge from the Cincinnati Enquirer. Alex, you also talked with Steve Lieber of 3CDC, and he basically gave you a similar message. What do they base that on? Is it basically what Alex said, that there's a higher concentration of residents based there now, or are there other factors?
Well, they seem to be taking it very day by day, but the initial violence, as Andy was also alluding to, there seemed to be looting the first couple of the first weekend of all these protests. And it did seem to be very opportunistic. It was a lot of apparel retailers were hit in the looting. Also, the looting, I guess the good news, in air quotes, about some of the unrest also has been that it was more limited in scope. There was maybe, there were something like 80, 90 businesses in Metro Cincinnati impacted by, that were vandalized, but the vast majority of that was just like broken windows. Looting affected maybe a few dozen businesses at most. So, and unlike other cities, we did not have any businesses that were burned to the ground. So there was, it's a whole other level of business devastation when you have a business that's been burned out versus somebody who has to spend, a few thousand dollars to replace a window, basically. One other thing is, another thing, the fact that this wasn't necessarily an organic event. We did not have a high-profile police brutality event here this time around, leading up to the unrest that we had locally is also sort of a seen as a bit of a more upbeat takeaway, as the urbanist in St. Louis mentioned from my article. There's not quite the same stigma that arises from this as well. So that's another hurdle that we're not grappling with as well.
Alex, for your piece, you also spoke with Tracy Haddon Lowe, a fellow at the Brookings Institute's Metropolitan Policy Program, and referred to this, as far as the perspective of cities goes, as an existential crisis. Every city is asking that question about how to move forward. And were there any answers that you could find?
Well, the it's really going to be sort of case by case. It's I think one thing that emerges from this is if
we have less damage from the unrest, that's obviously a positive for Cincinnati. But again, the pandemic impact that is affecting businesses, the civil unrest is sort of overshadowed. Disquieting short-term event that has taken some attention away from the very difficult economic impacts that are hitting the whole sector. So she was mainly referring to the economics. If people are not going out to eat because of the businesses being shut down, or because they're concerned about expected, that's going to slow businesses for these enterprises which operate on very slim margins. Also, if you're socially distancing and still operating, it throws off the economics of a business. I interviewed one restaurant owner who has a very small eatery, and he's sort of grappling right now with the financials of trying to operate, but then also socially distanced in his very small restaurant. And it's very difficult to sort of make the math work with that. Outdoor seating could be a possibility, but he's not sure how well he can make all that work. So it's complicated.
And that's Alex Coolidge from the Cincinnati Inquirer. We also have Andy Brownfield from the Cincinnati Business Courier. Andy, you spoke with one of the business owners in Over the Rhine, Alexis Height, who owns a children's clothing store, a newer one, opened last year, and happened to see some of these scenes on the news. Her boyfriend is a former Cincinnati Bengal, Drake Kirkpatrick. They raced down to the scene. Tell us a little bit about the story that you got from them.
She tells it much better than I do.
And she will. She's our guest in the next segment, so we're looking to connect with her and elaborate a little bit more on that. But just from the perspective of someone who went in to talk to some of these business owners and what they experienced, what their feelings must have been.
I can only imagine that it was terror and devastation, because any entrepreneur, but especially in Over the Rhine, a neighborhood with such a rich and loaded history in Cincinnati, being a black female entrepreneur is something of an anomaly, and it is diversity that the neighborhood needs. And to have that threatened by looting and rioting, I can only imagine is like seeing something you've worked very hard for your entire life for threatened, snatched away. So she, like many entrepreneurs, went down, and I believe she sat for 10 hours in front of her building trying to keep it safe before she had to make the hard decision ultimately to close the doors temporarily just to wait for it to pass.
Andy Brownfield is with the Cincinnati Business Courier, and Alex Coolidge is with the Cincinnati Inquirer. Andy, Alex, always a pleasure to have both of you on. We'll continue to follow your reporting as the city tries to figure this out and these business owners try to figure it out. Thanks for so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And we've got two local business owners joining us next, including Alexis Height, who will share her story. And later, the Northern Kentucky University Chase College of Law professor, who wrote an amicus brief in the recently decided landmark Supreme Court decision related to LGBT employment protections. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Businesses in Over the Rhine and downtown are weathering the economic shutdown brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. And now the anti-racism protests as well. Alexis Height owns Hutch Baby, an upscale clothing boutique for children. She joins us on the line now. Alexis, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. We're also looking to connect with Means Cameron, the owner of Black Coffee Lounge and Black Owned, and we'll have him on this segment momentarily as soon as we're able to connect. Alexis, I read in the article from Andy Brownfield at the Cincinnati Business Courier, whom we spoke with just moments ago, and detailed the situation that you went through when some of the civil unrest took a turn for the violent in our city back in late May. Share your story with us about what you saw happening to your store downtown.
What I saw happening was a crazy experience. My mom called me with a phone call and asked me, was I watching the news? And I'm like, yeah, I'm watching the news. And she was like, no, because I was on CNN. And I switched to like Channel 5, Channel 9, and I saw them looting city gear. So I really rushed down to OTR. I probably did 100 on the highway getting here. As soon as I pulled up in the highway, I heard windows crashing and everything was breaking and they were throwing rocks and breaking Micah's windows. So that's like right there, three stores away from mine. They were really just now hitting the corner. And as soon as I started crossing the street, my boyfriend jumped out to his truck because he was pulling up at the same time as me. And, like, literally stood in front of our store. And as they were making their way down, he's like, no. They're like, we're not going to do it. And next thing you know, he's seeing a guy with a tequila bottle to try to set the building on fire. And he stopped them from setting the building on fire. It was, like, the crazy experience that I ever experienced. It's one thing to watch it on TV, but to actually live it and see it and be in that moment, it was very, very scary.
And your boyfriend is Dre Kirkpatrick, from former member of the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Yes.
So sort of a towering figure. So I imagine that he was a bit intimidating to people who might have been trying to do that anything to your business. And you all then spent about 16 hours in front of your storefront trying to protect it?
Yeah, so we didn't leave till probably 9:30 a.m. So they came and boarded the store up. And they were still out booting and, you know, making their statement, protesting, and it went on and went on. But that was a crazy experience to see SWAT team flood the street, to see all those things happening was very, very intense.
Why don't you just tell us about what your business is?
So my business is Hutch Baby, which we sell sustainable, eco-friendly clothing for children so it doesn't break out skin, prevents breakouts, it adjusts the baby's body temperature, doesn't shrink, nor does it fade. My store is really like a one-stop shop that's based around my daughter. So anything that I have experienced or anything that I go through, people can come here, get advice as far as midwives, doulas, photo shoot, in-house photography, anything that is helping a young mother or mothers in general, they can come here to Hutch Baby. And I'm pretty sure I can give them everything they need and what they want.
And so you took a chance on this business last year, opening it in Over the Rhine. And this is a neighborhood that has received national attention for the revitalization that has taken place there over the past decade or so. There aren't many African-Americans who are part of that success story from an entrepreneurial standpoint when compared to the number of white business owners and property owners down there. You are one of the African-Americans who owns such a building. I'm wondering, from that perspective, your feelings about what you saw that night. You're someone who put a significant investment in an operation down there, and then you watch what unfolded. And we have to remember that when this first started, it looked a lot different than the more recent protests and marches that we've seen. It was a little bit scary for a lot of people.
Yes, it was a bit emotional just because I understand people have to stand for what they believe in. And I'm so for it. And, you know, I get on the message that they're trying to send. But at some point, it got to a point to where I knew others were just out there protesting, had nothing to stand for. They wasn't standing for anything. They were just doing things just because. And for people to try to destroy a black small business owner and a woman at that, it was pretty hard, because at that point it's like, you didn't do your research. If this is what you're trying to do, I feel like people lost the message in the process of what they were doing, because at that point it was just do anything that's possible to destroy anything in that moment. And you know, some people were out there protesting for what they believe in and was actually trying to send a message, and you had others who were just there, just to be there, not knowing. I've seen a lot of young kids, but it was probably like 13 and 14. They don't know what they're out there doing. I've seen babies out there. I've seen all demographic and different people out there, to where they were just out just to be known, just to see what was going on. And there was a lot of more young people than older people that was going on during that. So my take on it is, if, you know, some people were there for a cause and some people there wasn't.
We're talking with Alexis Height, who owns Hutch Baby in Over the Rhine. That is a children's clothing boutique. We're also joined on the line by Means Cameron. He's the owner of Black Coffee Lounge and Black Owned. Means, thank you for being with us.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
So you have created these businesses, and according to some reporting that we read in the Business Courier, something that you wanted to do was to allow Cincinnati to experience, quote, the excellence of Black culture through fashion and coffee. And it goes on to say that you felt pretty hurt when you walked into Black Coffee at the end of May and found a pretty big rock thrown through the window. Talk about your feelings of that period in time.
The night before, we knew that the protests were going to take place, or rioting, if you will. But we kind of felt like, you know, we were just grandfathered in, and we couldn't imagine that anything would happen to our spaces, because our spaces belong to this community. So we didn't really feel the need to stay downtown to protect our shops or anything like that, because just kind of felt like, you know, if people were going to protest, that our businesses would be off limits. So I think it was that shock factor of getting that text from my landlord early that morning. I think he texted me about 6 something that morning, just saying he wanted to let me know before someone else got to me. And he included an image. So I was listening to the last story, and the same thing, you know, I kind of jumped up. Rush down to the shop, and just to see it in person, it was heartbreaking. One, because of the unknown. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, are we going to see 2001 all over again? And if the energy was there, then I knew that we needed to prepare for something, you know, greater. So, yeah, I was definitely disturbed by it. One, because I just couldn't understand who would do it. And then I also knew that there was no purpose to it. If we were protesting the inequalities that African Americans are suffering here in our own country, then we get punished twice. We're punished because we wake up and we have to, you know, from the moment we open our eyes, you feel this fight that you have to take on. But you also, have to show it to your business and know that you're going to have to make some. Put in some extra dollars to bring it back to where it was.
Means, were you able to repair the damage that was done?
You said what now?
I apologize. I stumbled a bit on that question. Were you able to repair the business, the damage that was done?
Oh, absolutely. We were able to repair our damages. Basically, the community just came together. Someone made a post on our behalf saying support this local business, and it kind of caught wildfire, a couple tweets from some people with a lot of followers. And before you know it, you know, we had enough money, you know, more than enough money to fix our window. And we were so blessed that we were able to help some other businesses out with the money that was raised as well.
We're talking with Means Cameron and Alexis Height, owners of businesses in Over the Rhine and downtown. Alexis, we heard from some reporters previously who had talked to some experts on urban revitalization and urban planning, and they expressed concern about the state of urban renaissances like the one that Cincinnati has seen recently. Entrepreneurship is scary on its own, but to face something unprecedented like a global pandemic shutting down businesses or limiting their ability to do the services that they do. Forgive me. What you also have this civil unrest taking place. So talk a little bit about just what your feelings are about the state of things moving forward, whether you retain that sort of entrepreneurial optimism.
Right now, moving forward, we generally don't know what's going to happen. We're actually, every day, we're risking it. You know, trial is going on. People are still protesting all over. Some areas are getting worse. Some areas is not. And then due to the COVID, some areas are, you know, numbers are striking up. So right now, we're taking it day by day. Is this discouraging me from doing what I'm doing? No, it's going to make me go harder in what I'm doing. I'm actually trying to figure out different avenues that's still going to bring a brighter day. I can't live in a dull moment. I can't live dark. So recently I had Free Kona Ice Truck outside with a live DJ outside just to bring light to the street, something fun that could bring everyone together, because my store is boarded up. I only have one window with light in it. Everybody's still walking around depressed with what's going through. A change has to be made somewhere, somehow, and soon, hopefully, a change will be made. So if we're here right now, it's me as being a business owner, an entrepreneur, and hoping for better days. I'm not going to do anything but try to make things better here and help others stay happy. We stay light in the situation, and nothing but positivity here. So that's one thing that I'm just trying to push and hold events that's going to help each other together and, you know, practice 6 feet away and social distancing. So that's just my goal for right now and what's going on, because right now I can't tell you what today is. Tomorrow we can have a full-blown riot. We never know, just because of what's going on right now with the justice system. Until that is fixed, you never know what is going to happen.
Means, I want to ask you the same thing. Has the disruption to the business impacted your feelings about entrepreneurship or the future of your business? Do we still have Means on the line?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, yeah, I'm still here.
I think we're all a little struggling today.
Yeah, I put it on mute just to make sure that my background wasn't taking over. But yeah, you get into this thing, I think it's, you have to know that you want to be an entrepreneur. We've been around almost 10 years now, and you have to know that this is what you want to do. Entrepreneurship isn't the easy way out. It's a big misconception that, you know what, I'm tired of working for someone else. I am going to open my own business. That way I don't have to listen to anyone and I can work when I want to work. Well, that's not true. You know, you're always going to be listening to your customers, one, and two, when you work for yourself. You're going to work more than if you work for someone else. But the reward is that at the end of the year or at the end of the week or at the end of the day, you understand that you're putting in that work to create some wealth for your family and those that are working with you. So, no, I'm not discouraged by anything that's going on. And in fact, I love what's going on. I think this is needed. Everything is in perfect time and perfect place. You have no sports. You have large events, you know, all of these things that we love so much that distract us. It kind of, you know, puts a Band-Aid over these issues that we're suffering from in our country. Well, those things are, you know, COVID has put those things on the back burner. And we have to focus on what's at hand. So I'm not discouraged at all. And I actually think this is an opportunity for us to build. You know, over this weekend, we probably had one of our best weeks in business, you know, over the last three years here in the shop, at least. And online sales, you know, was even spiked. So I think people are listening. People are excited about what's to come. We understand that our goal is to promote ownership in Black communities, as well as challenge social inequities through fashion and storytelling. We're going to continue to do that. Nothing has changed. So we welcome everything that's going on right now. We want people to be outraged. We want people to, you know, express their emotions. But most importantly, we want people to have a plan, because if you're outraged without a plan, then everything goes back to where it was. So I would just say that, you know, for all of the entrepreneurs or even people that are just out there being soldiers, that the protests and everything is definitely part of the movement, but we have to have a plan as well to go along with it if we want to see, you know, real change or long-lasting change, if you will.
Means Cameron and Alexis Height. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Good luck with your businesses, and we hope to see you all on the other side of it.
All right, thank
you. Absolutely, thank you for having us.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.